are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Hello, lovely folks. Come on in the room. Come on in the room.
We're going to break down that thing called hurt and pain. And, of course, we're going to shed some light on being a bomb.
Listen up.
There is a thing that's called education. That's where you're entertained and educated at the exact same time. Kind of like what I call being
to the conversation
and motivated, and of course I call that motivation.
Lean in, listen up now.
OMG, OMG, OMG. Welcome to OMG. It's the Omara Gail Radio Show, and I am your host, Mara Gail, actress, author, evangelist, and content creator. And you all know that I love serving Maravation because it's the perfect blend of motivation and inspiration. And tonight's conversation, I must admit, is a tough one to me. So I want to welcome you guys to the conversation. It's going to be real. It's going to be raw. Prayerfully, it will offer some hope, some healing, some insight. As you all know, this is May, and May is Mental Health Month. And with all that's taking place, not only with COVID, but also with the senseless crimes that we have been witnessing. And in particular, the reason that I titled this show, Sir, tonight is because the last thing that Floyd George was saying was, Sir, I can't breathe. And we've heard this before. And I thought, Sir, you know, the Holy Spirit gave me an acronym for it, SAD, Incomprehensible Reality. SAD, Incomprehensible Reality. That's what SIR stands for in this space of an hour that we're going to have a conversation. I'm going to, at some point, open up the conversation to have you all call into the radio show and let me know if you have had any experience, a loss, if you're a male and you've had experiences, or some of my sisters may have had an experience or run-in with the law, or if you're a parent, a wife, a sister, just a concerned person, and you are concerned about your brothers, our sons, our fathers, being impacted and affected. I want to hear those fears. I want to hear those concerns. And I also want to hear some of those real life stories of how you've been able to process, where you've placed it, how you're dealing with it emotionally. It's a tough time dealing with this whole COVID-19 and knowing that African Americans are disproportionately impacted and affected by the disease. And then to hear that there isn't as much testing taking place. And then, of course, if you talk about the job loss and the unemployment rate, you know that African-American numbers are a lot higher in that respect. And then you tag on to that the incarcerated and all of our brown and black brothers who are in prison, who are contracting COVID and being exposed to it, not being tested, or the workers at the correctional facilities leaving, coming back in, and they're not being tested. It's a lot. That in itself is enough to bring you to tears, to frustrate you, to get you angry enough that you want to do something. But that situation has been compounded by some demonic forces is what it seems. It's demonic forces. It's racism. It's a lot of things that need to be spoken out loud. I had a girlfriend, when I told her I was doing this show, she was like, yeah, she said, it hurts my stomach to hear about it and to know it's still taking place. She says, but we can't whisper this. We have to speak it. We have to voice it. And I told her that was exactly why I wanted to do OMG tonight and allow this platform to be one that will hopefully be medicinal, hopefully be one that would encourage or inspire or be a catalyst for, you know, at least dialoguing about it, unpacking it, and exploring it, you know, because until we really look at how it's affecting us, not just us as a people, but you individually, if you are overly anxious about your son leaving the house or your husband making it, taking it, going on an errand to the store or walking down the street, walking his dog, you know, to think about being in a park in New York and asking the woman to put her dog on a dog leash and how that situation escalated into the cops being called on a bird watcher. The cops not only being called, but she utilized that moment and that situation in a terroristic way. She knew that calling the cops could potentially get this black man killed. She also knew that in raising the decibels of her voice and sounding panicked and threatened and intimidated and saying a black man threatening myself and my dog while she's physically hurting the dog, unaware that she's choking her own dog because she was fixated on how to hurt this African-American man who merely asked the woman, could you put your dog on a leash? We can think about that. We can also think about Ahmaud Arbery taking a jog in a neighborhood who was hunted down. When you put all of those things together, and of course you can go from Trayvon to Sandra Bland to Julio, you can go to all of the people that have been gunned down in the streets behind, I'd say, racist actions or intentional, deliberate hatred towards a people. It brings you to ask, why? Why are we being hunted? Why are we being persecuted? Why are we being intimidated? You all know the conversations that you have with your boys, your young men, your sons. Put your hands at 10 and 2. Put your hands on the dashboard. Don't look an officer in their face. Don't make any sudden quick moves. Don't get out of the car unless they ask you to get out of the car. Don't raise your voice. Don't talk back. Don't. If there's so many don'ts that go with this particular story. And even when you do the things that you're taught to do, you're still not guaranteed to make it out of the situation alive. And my heart, it is broken and it is bleeding. And y'all know me. I'm not one to use my social media platform to talk about a lot of the negative things in the world, not because they don't matter to me, but there's so many voices out there giving life and hope to that, that generally I just give the opposite. I try to encourage people where they are. I try to instill hope and inspire change and allow people to think about the good things. But it's been all too much here lately, and I can't be quiet about it. I've been processing and I've been praying and I've been hoping, you know, that prayerfully this platform of OMG and the Up to Me Radio umbrella under which OMG rests, I've been praying that it would offer you something in this hour. So let's unpack a few things. Okay, this being Mental Health Awareness Month, I can't help but wonder what the images being etched in our mind are doing to us. We all know that when they were showing images of us in gangs, raping people, robbing people, all of these black exploitation films, that caused Asian Americans, white Americans, Hispanic Americans, and even African Americans to be fearful of their life because of the images that were being portrayed on TV and on film. And that went on for years. So they still have that in their mind. And some of us see a group of black guys coming down the street, and even if you're African American, you're thinking, uh-oh, should I cross the street? Which is not a natural and normal thought, but it's been etched and burned into your mind. So even you flinch and even you get intimidated or scared. That's not how it should be. And the sad part is when we began to show TV shows that showed us in a more holistic way, multidimensional characters, there was a season where there were so many black shows on air, and we were glad to see the representation of us, and we felt better. And then there was the Cosby Show, and you're seeing a doctor and a lawyer. And for some people, this was unbelievable. They thought, oh, it's got to be some kind of sitcom, because clearly that's not happening, when we all knew this is happening. It's not just happening. This is a normalcy. This is how we are. We can have a civil conversation, and we don't all sit on a porch eating chicken and watermelon, and we're not walking around barefoot. It's the same way they portray Africa, like it's poor and broken and destitute, when Africa has some of the richest things in the world that they have been robbing and stealing from. But I won't digress and hang out on that. But images play a huge role in how others perceive us and then how we end up perceiving ourselves. And in the midst of COVID killing us because of the pre-existing conditions, because of eating Fatback and Chitlins, because that was all we had from the master's house, and then your mama taught your mama how to make it, how to make pork chops with gravy, and how to use salt pork to season your cabbage and your collard greens, and then that gets passed on to Big Mama and them, and Big Mama and them pass it on to Mama and Mama and them pass it on to you guys, and then we end up cooking the same food. And until you deprogram yourself and say, hey, I can use fresh herbs and other seasonings, or smoked turkey versus pork, or I can use better ingredients to make these dishes taste well. But that came later, and even some people still don't do it, and that's fine. You may like your flavor, your food flavored a certain way because you're used to it. But do know that that comes with a price. And when we get sick, when we are ill, it's compounded when things like this happen, this pandemic. When things like this happen, it's exacerbated for us because these underlying conditions make you more susceptible to be the person that gets intubated. And so mentally we're trying to process watching 13% of African Americans live in a city but 36% infected with COVID, knowing that in the prison we're the largest population represented, black and brown people. So you got those against you. But then you add to that people who are supposed to be Americans like us, black Americans, white Americans, Asian Americans, Hispanic Americans, whatever the case is. We're Americans. Americans. This is the United States of America. And there's no unity. And we're perceived as not being not only not American, but perceived as not even being human. When I think about the animal shelter commercials where the plea goes out for our dog, when New Orleans was underwater because of Katrina and people were rescuing animals before they were rescuing us on top of roofs, when they were rescuing embryos, unborn children, before they were rescuing us, on top of roofs, you got to know that those images in your mind, they don't go away. And so what do we do? What do we do? You know, Ava DuVernay made a statement. I saw her being interviewed by Gayle King, and I'm going to try to find. This is what she said. Gayle King asked her, you know, how do we tell white America, how do we solicit their help to help us combat this? And Ava DuVernay said, wait a minute. We've had the emotional labor of racism our entire life. It's not our job to tell white America how to help us. White America has their own, she didn't say this part, that part she said, but white America has two eyes and a heart that God gave all of us, and we can't do it alone. Martin Luther King couldn't do it without white America. We can't do it alone. Barack Obama would have never been president without white America. So until we all unify and say enough is enough and literally begin to lock arms and lock hearts with what we can do, it will remain the same. We have to call out injustice. We have to tape and film injustice. We have to speak out about injustice. We have to write about injustice. We have to contact our government officials, our senators, our Congress, our House. We got to contact the powers that be to remind them that they work for us. And then we have to get involved at a local level in order to get more people of color involved who actually care about the things of people of color. So those are just some of the things that we have to change our thinking in order to be impactful and effective. You know, I've got a line that people are asking, you know, how they could call in. There's a number you can call if you want to call in and join the conversation. I had hoped that I could put you guys into the chat with me, but I'm not sure that I can. So I may not be able to do that, but do know that I am trying. I'm endeavoring to be able to do this. Someone says if you can find a better ingredient in your community, that would help. Someone else, which is why saying I don't see color is one of the most dangerous things ever spoken. You have to see color. And I know people are trying to be kind and politically correct and they think, I don't see color. No, you see color, and I need you to see color because I need you to see that this skin can get me killed, but your skin can get you to not even be questioned. You can kill people in a church and have the firearm with you, and they know you killed them, and they can take you to go get McDonald's before they take you to a jail. You can murder somebody in the street with a shotgun after hunting them down, and they let you go free for months while that person is dead and their family is left mourning. That's the difference. You can put your knee on someone's neck and you get fired, but you get to walk free and you're not in jail. You've lost a job. You'll get another job. So I need you to see color and I need you to feel my pain when I think that my husband has to leave the house and go to work, or leave the house and go to the doctor, or leave the house and go pick up his clothes from the cleaners, or whatever errand he may happen to run, and in an instant, he could be pulled over for no apparent reason and possibly thrown onto the hood of a car and roughed up and maybe perhaps killed. Until you know what that feels like, until you know what it feels like to worry that you might not see your loved one, not because they're out doing something stupid or senseless or committing a crime, but because they're driving while being black or walking while being black or jogging while being black or shopping while being black or selling CDs outside while being black. Until you've had to experience that, you don't really understand what we deal with. And then you add to that that we have sons, little innocent black and brown boys who you have to teach at age 5 or 6 that if you see the cops on the street, don't run. Don't run or try to get away so that they don't kill you, or make sure you stay clear, or put your hands in the air. But even putting my hands up doesn't stop them from shooting now. There is an incident that just happened where I saw this young boy, I believe his name was Ty or Tyre, T-Y-R-E, I believe is his name, and I may have it wrong. If you guys know it, please go up, feel free to correct me on it. But this young black boy was, he rolled through a stop sign, and the cops ended up surrounding him. He kept driving to go to his grandmother's house because he was afraid he would be murdered. He rolled through a stop sign. Video picks up with, I think there were 6 to 9 police officers, guns drawn, while the young teenager is laying on the grass with his hands straight out, going, "Please, I'm afraid. Please, my hands are right here. I'm right here. Please don't shoot me." And they're saying, "Get up." And you hear the people on the camera saying, "No, no, no, you stay right there," because all of their guns are drawn. "Y'all put your guns down. You see he doesn't have a weapon. You all put your guns down, and then he'd feel more comfortable standing. But with y'all having all your guns drawn, if he does anything, it's a reason for you to shoot." And you hear the people begging the officers to please put your guns down. "Please, he doesn't have anything. His hands are just stuck out straight, and they're empty." His 90-year-old grandmother comes outside to try to intervene between the officers and her grandchild, and the officers began to come in closer, and they get all the way up onto the kid and the grandmother, and the next thing you know, the grandmother gets knocked to the ground, 90 years old, and this grandmother was walking with a cane, and she's 90. They knock her to the ground, and the camera footage goes black. But I say that to say, why are guns drawn on us for rolling through a stop sign? Why was a knee put in somebody's neck for the alleged crime was there was a suspect of something about forgery? When does this equal death? When we have witnessed with our own two eyes people spitting on police officers with shotguns in tow, protesting, and the officers never pulled out tear gas. They never shot rubber bullets at the whites who were outside. Why are we being murdered? Why are we being killed? You know, LeBron James put up an image of Colin Kaepernick the other day kneeling, and then opposite that image was the officer who had his knee in Floyd George's neck, and it said, "This is why we kneel," basically. "This is why we kneel." That's Kaepernick was standing for, saying, first of all, kneeling is a sign of reverence. Generally, people kneel in Catholic churches, people kneel to pray, people kneel in honor of something. Kneeling is normally a sign of reverence. It's a humbling position. It's a position of humility. But unfortunately, we had somebody who knows how to twist what you see and make you think what you see is not what you see. And they have redefined the word that if you're kneeling at a game, you're unpatriotic, you're un-American. And unfortunately, the world has been duped into believing that. And when I say the world, I'm not talking about those that are awake and conscious about the reality of what Kaepernick was doing, but I'm talking about those that are in denial, and those who refuse to believe or hear the truth. But I want to speak on why we do the looting. And I get it. People are angry. They take to the streets, and in numbers, you know, they feel emboldened and they want to hurt somebody or they want to do something. But destroying the stores that have chosen to be in our community and destroying the stores that donate and contribute to our community doesn't help our community. It's misplaced anger. And I know that it's not the people that are watching me or listening to me now that are the people perpetrating these crimes. These are the kinds of things that we've got to not just pray about, but call out, not condone. You know, we really have to be conscious and awake about how we speak about those things. It's no more justified than the cops shooting rubber bullets and shooting tear gas at peaceful demonstrations. Both are wrong. I get the anger of us as a people. I get it. I understand it. I understand it. But it's misplaced anger when we do things that hurt our own community or hurt the potential for our community to be developed into something better. And so I want to invite you guys to the conversation. I'm on an iPad. I couldn't get my computer screen up before I came on, so I couldn't join on this other medium. However, my computer is up now, but I can't switch the feed. But I do want to open up the telephone lines in case you want to call in with a question. The phone number is 347-324-5246. Press 1 to be entered into the queue. If you have a story of the police stopping you or harassing you, or if you have a concern or fear of you've experienced or your husband or your son has experienced and you'd like to share that, because I also think there's some healing in talking about it so that you don't keep the anger inside and let the anger set up and turn into sickness. Again, the phone number is 347-324-5246. I want to afford you an opportunity. I need to preface this. Those that know my show and my executive producer is well aware, my show is not a show where we are cursing on the show, saying racist comments on the show. That's not what I'm about. That's not what Up to Me Radio is about. So I'm prefacing it with that in case you happen to be so angry that you want to kind of go off. That's not what the platform is for. I'm trying to share the platform to, A, hear stories, common interest, common hurt, common pain, common distrust or mistrust. That's what I'm trying to do, afford an opportunity to air some of the grievances, to unpack and talk about or discuss some of the grievances, but in no way, shape, or form am I trying to say, hey, get on here and call out white people or call out cops or whomever, because there are good cops and there are bad cops. And we all know the difference. Not all cops are bad, just like not all black people are bad and not all white people are bad and not all Hispanic or Asian or other are bad. But there are some bad seeds, and when those bad seeds are left unchecked, unfortunately, it just grows like a fire. So the phone number again is 347-324-5246. Press 1 to be entered into the queue. Someone's comment is, I'm angry and sad, haven't been able to shake it. Most moments, I'm in faith, but if I'm honest, that's what this person said. Someone also said, just hearing you is calming, no surprise there. You are always a balm of healing, and for that I say thank you, and I love you so much, my sister. What a blessing. Thank you so much for that. I hope that I can offer some comfort, and I do want to pray for you. I wrote a song that I ended up posting on my Facebook page. It was a combination of the Lord's Prayer and Second Chronicles, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray. And then it was a freestyle song that I just kind of wrote in the moment called I Trust You, because I wanted to pray to God, and I wanted to praise God. And the pain was so heavy, though, I just had to sing it, because I didn't want to, I was too hurt to cry in the moment. So I thought, Lord, if I praise you in the midst of this pain, then the enemy doesn't win the hour. And so I just went into worship, and I just prayed to him and praised him in song, because that's what I had. That's what my gift was in that hour. I couldn't do anything to bring back Floyd George, and I couldn't do anything to ensure that justice was served. But I knew that I had a God who sees all and knows all, and who this situation wasn't a surprise to him. You know, I was talking to my husband, I think it was last night or it may have been early this morning, and I said to him, I said, you know, we couldn't play sports. You know, they wouldn't let us play sports early on because, you know, they didn't want us to play sports. They weren't interested in us being on teams, shoulder to shoulder and side by side. They wouldn't even let us fight in wars because they didn't want us fighting side by side with them until, of course, you're needed. Then, yeah, front line for you. The most dangerous assignments for you. So this isn't new. From slavery forward, these injustices, these dark things, these were done in the secret, these strange fruit things were all taking place. It's not that it's new. It's just that with technology and social media, things are being captured in a way that they never had been before. And as a result of that, we're witnessing things real time. We're witnessing things in real time. And that is, it's unsettling, but it is necessary, because until, like I said, until our brothers and sisters who aren't African-American see what we see and don't look away, as painful as it is, you have to see it. You have to see it and let it impact you. Let your eyes witness the injustice. Let your heart feel the pain and the hurt of that mother who has to watch her son die and know that it didn't have to be so, because he was pleading. He said, sir, in the middle of being in pain, he gives her a respect that he didn't deserve, but he knows I have to give you respect. He knows he's so desperate in that moment to stay alive that he says, sir, I can't breathe. Sir, sir, I can't breathe. I have watched video of, I don't even know where the guy is, but he does these videos of how he talks to the police and how he tells them his rights and all of this. I mean, talks back to them, insults them, calls them out their name, and he's been pulled over I don't even know how many times. But never is there a thought in his mind that he's not only not going to be drug out of his car and thrown onto the pavement, but he's not even going to be cursed at, spit, let alone shot or killed. And he's on YouTube trying to teach people what you need to tell the officer so that they don't give you a ticket. And we're like, We'll take the ticket. Give me the ticket.
I'll take the ticket.
But he lived. That I have to ask to let me live for rolling through a stop sign. Or that I have to ask for you to let me live when I am handcuffed on the floor with four officers who have guns and tasers. That I have to ask for air. No, that's not normal. That will never be normal. Feel for my brothers every time a siren goes off behind them. And it could be just that the cop is passing by, but the pounding and the beating of their heart in those moments of wondering if the cop's siren is for them and if they're going to make it home to their family every day. I can't verbally articulate that to you because I'm not the black man who felt that. I'm not the son who's thought that, who has literally almost had a panic attack because a cop pulled them over and they were wondering if it was a good and a nice cop today or a bad and angry or racist cop today. We pay their salary normal. So family, what can we do? What can we do? What can we do to help heal? What can we do to... I started this show talking about May being the month for mental wellness, and I brought that up, or I bring that up because seeing these images messes with you. Believer, I'm a follower of Christ. I am a faith-filled woman. I trust God. I believe that everything that I experience or others experience, if they're a believer, will work out for their good. I believe that God keeps a hedge of protection around me. So in no way, shape, or form is this conversation, this OMG Omarigale radio show, this dialogue, this open air about Sir to say that I don't trust God. Because I do. I trust God. I don't trust man. And I'm not saying I don't trust all men. I don't trust those who intentionally wake up like the devil does, looking to see whom he can kill, steal, and destroy. I don't trust them. Because I trust God, I pray, I study my word, I intercede on behalf of people, and I do these shows in order to deposit whatever's inside of me, whatever strength is inside of me, to deposit that to my brothers and my sisters to help you have hope in the midst of your hurt, to help you process some things in the midst of this social distancing, to help you come to grips with the reality that not only is it not fair or warranted or justified, that it's wrong. And we have to figure out a way to collectively use all of the energy and the feelings and emotions, of course, can fuel it, but it's logic and wisdom, and we've got to be strategic about how we get laws to change and how we get our appointed leaders to do things that impact us in a positive way. COVID-19 didn't reveal anything new. It exposed what's been covered up. This police brutality and violence isn't showing us anything new. It's exposing the dark cyst of sin that lies in people's hearts and how the children are being trained to hate, which is why it is imperative, especially if you're a believer, to love and to extend yourself and to open your circle to people who don't look like you, don't think like you, don't talk like you, don't even live where you live. Because it is in that extension and that camaraderie and that connection that we can actually turn this big cruise liner of hatred to some place that actually can meet people where they are. I'm so glad my circle isn't all people that look like me. Because we all need help and we all need to hear what other people can, what other people experience. The reason that so many people hate blacks or African American is because the only image they ever saw was, like I said, of those killing and stealing and robbing. Or they've never lived around, went to school with, went to a family dinner with, hung out with anybody that didn't look like them. And if they did, there was so much hatred in their heart that their motive wasn't pure. So what can we do? How can we heal? How can we get, I got to put a pin in this because there's another thing, and I don't want to make this multi-layered, but there's a lot of layers to this. This past weekend in Chicago, Memorial Day weekend, from Friday through Monday, there were 49 shootings. 49. One short of 50. And 10 people died. So while police brutality is killing our black people, our brothers, our sisters, our fathers, our sons, COVID-19 killing our brothers, our sisters, our mothers, our fathers, our grandparents that are black and brown in a disproportionate fashion. We've got gun violence, black-on-black crime, where kids are randomly shooting other people. So the police don't view us as human. Now our boys are growing up to not even see their brothers as human, or their community leaders as human, or their sisters, or their nieces, or their neighbor's kid as human. There's a problem, people. And I don't like to just dig up the problem and not try to give some kind of medicine for it. But Second Chronicles talks about, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, then they would hear from heaven. And then he says, I will heal their land. COVID-19 has exposed some dirty, dark, evil things about our land. Not to be mistaken, I love the land I live in. And I am an American. I have no aught against the United States of America, but I have a problem with hatred and bigotry. I have a problem with injustice. I have a problem with court systems that are stacked against us before you even get started. I have a problem with the fact that the Central Park Five never got restitution for what took place, really. They had a problem when those things aren't made right when they should be. So it doesn't mean I don't trust God. And it doesn't mean I'm un-American. What it means is I call a spade a spade. I call it like I see it. I shoot straight from the hip. And that doesn't taint my walk with the Lord, and the Lord knows what I feel, what I think, what I experience, what I see, and he knows the tears that I've cried behind all the injustices. He's aware of it all. There are no secrets between me and him. None. And so in this, in this last few minutes, moments, I don't think there are any callers. So if there aren't, I just want to take a moment and I want you guys to put your faith with mine. And I want us to bombard heaven. I want us to pray like Ahmaud Arbery or Floyd George or our son. No matter what color you are, no matter if you have children or not, I want us to bombard heaven and beseech the Lord to heal the land. Heal us of this sickness, this racism, this hatred. Heal us of this dis-ease. Heal us of the emotional wounds that this is causing. Heal the etched in images that we can't seem to shake. We're going to beseech the Lord to heal us. And I'm asking you to put your faith with mine and to begin to humble yourself and pray with me so that we can get healed and so that the medicine comes to our communities, to our people, to our hearts, and to our heads, our minds. Because these wounds, they don't disappear. They don't magically disappear. And we don't have the ability to have temporary amnesia. So they stay with us. They stick on us. They are like a stench after you walk through fire or smoke and you smell the stench of the smoke or the basement leaks and you go down to move the clothes out and they smell sour or dingy or dirty. This is what this feels like. And so we have to pray for the cleansing of what it's doing to our minds and our hearts and our emotions. We have to pray for those things and also do the natural thing. Pick up a pen and some paper, go online and look up where your senators are, your representatives are, and write them and demand that laws be changed and laws be implemented and rules and accountability for things that take place. That's the next step. We pray to God and then we work, right? You take a step, he takes a step to meet you. And so we can pray for the favor of our letters to our representatives to be met with acceptance. We can pray that our the legislation that gets passed for our good, you know, actually gets implemented. We can pray for those things. We have to do the work, people. We have to do the work. Link arms with some people, and we have to do the work. So let's go ahead and pray. I'm going to read a couple of comments, exposing the darkness of people's hearts. Yeah, that's what it is. It's the darkness of people's hearts that has been exposed. Let's go ahead and bow our heads in a word of prayer, bombard heaven, and ask the Lord to heal. That's the Lord to heal. And we're going to trust that just like a seed that's planted in the ground that you can't see the fruit or the sprig of it right away, we're going to trust that God is working underneath the soil. He's working underneath the soil because we have to believe that. And he always, whenever there's a seed planted, something has to grow. And so let's plant some good seeds. Right now, let's plant some good seeds. Hallelujah. Lord, we bless you. We praise you. We thank you. We worship you, Lord. You are so awesome, Father God. Beside you, there's truly none other, Lord. We beseech you right now. We beg you, Father God. We thank you for just leaning your ear towards our lips as we pour out our heart to you. Pray, saints. Pray. Father God, we bless your name and we praise you right now. And Daddy God, we ask you to heal your land, Lord God. We've seen some of the fruit of what COVID-19 has caused in the good realm in terms of the pollution is less. There are less car accidents, Lord. But we ask you, Daddy God, specifically and particularly to heal our land and to heal the sickness in the hearts of those who seek to hunt us down and kill us, to destroy us and our communities. Father God, we beseech you, we beg you, we plead, Lord God, that you would help heal our land. Mercy for our brothers and our sisters, our sons and our daughters, Lord God. We pray for those that are incarcerated, Lord God, fearing for their life. We pray for every black man who has been pulled over or harassed, Lord God, for something that literally shouldn't have caused such a visceral response from an officer, Father God. And Lord, we also pray for those good officers, those officers who don't seek to destroy or kill or hurt anybody. We pray, Lord God, that you give them a spirit of boldness, that you convict them at the core of who they are, and that they begin to do what they need to do, Lord God, to expose this sickness, to expose this racism, not just blacks, white, brown, whomever, Lord God, that you give them a boldness, a conviction to be able to tell the powers that be. And if the powers that be are also and equally racist, that they would go above them, Lord God, until their voices are heard, that they would begin to band together and say no more, because one cop can give the rest of the cops a bad rep, Lord God. And so we pray that you give a spirit of boldness to good officers and to good cops, Lord God. And now, Father God, we pray for the families of those kids, these young men and women who have lost their lives senselessly to this kind of violence, this kind of hunting down, this kind of murder, Lord God. We pray that you heal those parents, that you give them a peace that surpasses their understanding. And we pray, Lord God, that their children's memory, Lord God, will not be tarnished, Father God, by stupidity or foolishness or recklessness, by burning down communities, but we use our voices and that we use our power and that we use our dollars, Lord God, to impact and insist upon change, Father God. I pray, Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus for all of the families that are dealing with COVID-19, whose family members have been impacted and affected and who have lost their lives to COVID-19, Father God. I pray, Lord God, that you would give us as a people wisdom to be able to protect ourselves and not want to blend in and fit in. A lot of the things that I see on TV may not represent a lot of blacks, but we are catching this disease at an alarming rate. So I pray in the name of Jesus for wisdom, for knowledge, for understanding, for discipline, Lord God, to do what we have to do to stay safe in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I pray for our frontline workers, those that are risking their lives every day, that we might get the kind of medical help that we need. And even our frontline workers who are driving the trucks that are bringing the supplies and the grocery stores that are still yet open, Lord God, I pray for everyone who has to work in this pandemic, during this pandemic, Lord God, keep them safe. Let no hurt, harm, or danger come to them. For every black man and teenager, and even little kids. I'm thinking about the kid who was mowing the lawn, and he accidentally mowed a little bit of the neighbor's lawn, and the white lady called the cops on a kid who was under 8 years old because he accidentally mowed a little bit of her yard. She called the cops. I pray that you root out the sickness of racism. I pray that you annihilate it at the root, Daddy God. I pray that it begins to stink amongst their circle of friends and family. I pray that the taste or the sound of racist comments are no longer tolerated. I pray that people get exposed and get put on blast or shamed for doing or saying something that was racist, Lord God. I pray that people will no longer be comfortable and relating to what people say against other people and their races, and that goes for all races that speak ill in a racist fashion. I pray that you expose it, that you catch it on secret camera, that you expose it not only to their employees, to their communities, Lord God, to their churches. I pray you even expose the churches that have the racism in their heart, Lord God. I pray that any and everyone who is following up on racist acts, acting on racist impulses, are exposed. And I pray, Lord God, because vengeance is yours, that you take care of it. Sick 'em, Lord. you get them. Because if you take care of it, Lord, we know it's done. And so we thank you on credit, Lord God, that the fight is yours. The battle is not ours. It is yours. So we trust you. We believe you. We present this to you right now, Lord God. If there's any audit in any of our hearts that are praying right now, Lord God, we ask you for forgiveness. We do not want our prayers to be hindered. We pray in the name of Jesus you heal relationships that we have with people that we have to sit side by side with, work with, communicate with, Lord God. Let the hatred not boil up in our hearts. Let us not be an eye for an eye going out and doing evil for evil. But let us, Father God, trust that you will handle because you sit high and you see all, Lord God. And so we thank you on credit for what you're going to do. We thank you that justice will be served in this particular situation. We thank you even for the mayor who was swift to move, Lord God. And he seems to have compassion for the reality and the weight of the situation. So we pray for protection against the mayor, Lord God, that there will be no retribution or no backlash against him, Father God. We trust you. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. We worship you. We exalt your holy name, Lord God. Have your way and heal this land and heal our heart and heal the emotional scars of what these moments in time are doing to us. It is in your matchless Son, Jesus' name, that we pray and say amen. Thank you so much for joining OMG, the Omar Yale Radio Show. We'll be back here next Thursday, same time, 6 o'clock Central, 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can also catch the show via podcast on Apple Music, which has a new name, and I can't recall it right now, Google Play, the Stitcher app, Spotify, as well as iHeart Music, iHeart Radio. Stitcher app is the newest platform. Please join us there. And if you haven't been to my OMG Omar Gill show page, please go to the page, sign up to be alerted so that you can be notified when I have new episodes that come out. I thank you so much for listening. I thank you for tuning in, leaning in, and listening up to OMG, the Omar Gale Radio Show. And you can find me on social media at Mara Gale, and my website is maragale.com. God bless you. Be encouraged and trust. The battle is not yours. And God sits high. He sees all. And he will give you peace and rest. God bless you. Thanks.
Heard and then listened to.